Good evening. For the record, I'm Sanjeev Honda, East Bay News Service. I just wanted to update you on a couple of things that are going on with City Hall that don't generally get communicated. A piece of it you've heard already, that the city's shortfall for the coming fiscal year is already ballooned to $83 million. But unfortunately, that's not the total picture. The city council made a number of adjustments to the budget last October for the current fiscal year, which ends June 30th of 2009. And in February, the council was told that that balancing act had failed, and that we're now anticipating an $8.22 million shortfall for this year, which ends June 30th. On top of that, they will not know the third quarter revenue and expenses until the first week of May. But the preliminary indications are that the real estate transfer tax, which is one of the big engines in Oakland's budget, is going to be even worse than they thought. They had taken it all the way from $64 to $26 million. And part of the reason for that was they knew there was one transaction that was going to happen that was $6 million. So it was from $64 to $20 in reality, and it's not going to probably come in around $15 million. So that means that, everything that is not balanced by the end of this year will roll over into next year, and that will increase the amount further. To add to that problem, the Measure Y revenues, which are pegged to parking, are also down substantially, both because Oakland International Airport has lost about 33% of its passenger traffic. As a result, there are a lot less people parking there and a lot less revenue. And 8.5 cents of every dollar parking from the airport went to Measure Y. Another 10 cents went to the city's general fund. So between the two, there may be another $2 million or so. And there are other cuts that will roll. For example, the airport is cutting some contracts with the museum. So when all is said and done, it may mean that we're at somewhere between $100 and $110 million, which is approximately, the general fund is about $465 million. So if it's $100 million, that means that it's approximately 18-19% of the general fund. The second thing, which is more direct and relevant, is that every department and unit has been asked to prepare scenarios of 10, 15, and 20% reductions. And then the council will make the final determination as to where to cut. So if, for example, in your case, they decide to make a 20% cut in the CPRB budget, that would certainly have impacts on staffing and would have certain other impacts as well. As you all know, you have an interim executive director, and now you have an acting interim executive director for the next couple of months, apparently. And so the issue that's going to come up is that there are going to be some salary savings there, but how that's projected next year with what the staffing ends up being. And the final point I wanted to share with you is that I gave some of you copies of my newsletter. If any of you else would like, let me know. I'll give them to you as well so that you can have them. That has more information and updates about things such as who's going to run for mayor and what some of the financial consequences are of some of the plans and steps the council's taking. Thank you.
As of April 14, 2009, there are 82 CPRB cases, 67 active and pending cases, one case hearing held and pending closure, and there are 14 toll cases. Since the last report was given, 6 new cases have been added. 081168, Marguerite Manuel Farrell, Priority 1, sexual misconduct. 081399, Susan R. Mann, Priority 1, Racial Profiling and Discrimination. 090148, Salochana Prasad, Priority 2, Improper Search and Detention. 090358, Alton Long Sr., Priority 3, Harassment. 090371, Anthony Brown, Priority 2, Improper Search and Untruthfulness. 090374, Laron Means, Priority 3, Harassment. At this time, I'd also like to acknowledge that our CPRB intern, Sandra Oliveris, is present. And I would also like to introduce our new board commissioner, Thomas Cameron, and I'd like to give him a moment if you would like to share any information with our board.
I'm pleased to have this opportunity to serve. Now that I'm retired, I think it's an ambitious time to share my experience and helping hand to the city I lived in for 40 years. And perhaps bring some, make some kind of contribution.
Also, I'd like to just include as a reminder that next Thursday, April 30th at 2:30 at Laney College, the CPRB will be holding an outreach. I have copies of the flyers so I can share it with you board members as well as members of the public. The title of the outreach event is Dialogue on Community Policing with Oakland's Youth. It's a tremendous opportunity to get input and to engage Oakland's youth in a discussion with members of the police department as well as members of City Hall. So you're all welcome to attend. Thank you. This concludes my report.
Okay, we're going to move right into Rashida Benaj, her presentation on civilization of internal affairs. Thank you, Ms. Benaj, for coming.
Good evening. Before I detail or give you a kind of a summary of the report that is being presented on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, the 28th, to the Public Safety Committee, which meets at 5:30 downstairs in room 1, I want to make sure that you're aware of this so that you can come and present your views. And what I hope, of course, is that you will advocate for our proposal. But obviously, you're free to express your views regardless. Before I look at the substance of this proposal, I want to make a couple of statements. Which, because I don't work for the city, I can make without fear of consequence. And that is to say, in light of the budget shortfall, which is, as you know, enormous, which Sanjeev just mentioned, the city is looking everywhere to make cuts. The way that the current situation is modeled, you have two separate agencies that perform identical functions, Internal Affairs and the Citizens Police Review Board. Both of them need funding, but one of them receives 800 complaints a year and you receive 80. The obvious question for anyone in this city who's looking to make cuts is, why in the world are we spending money on a Citizens Police Review Board that has to be staffed, that costs money that we don't have, when we already provide this service to 10 times the number of people in Internal Affairs? This proposal that I'm about to summarize is an effort to avert disaster. The disaster I foresee is that if you don't grow and assume prominence, you will be eliminated. Even before this current disaster of an economy, it was clear this agency has always been underfunded. You have never had the number of investigators you should have according to the ordinance. This agency has always been the orphan, the stepchild, in terms of resource. And it would be the easiest thing in the world to say that you are peripheral because you are duplicative and because you are of minimal impact. So what we are trying to do in this proposal is flip the script and say, you know what? We don't want citizens filing complaints at Internal Affairs. We want them filing complaints at the Citizens Police Review Board. Reason one, the reason people don't file with you is that they don't know you exist. The city has never promoted this agency because they didn't want a huge influx of complaints here that they would then have to hire more resources to support. So the vast majority of people in Oakland do not know there is a review board here. And they are often not told. When they go to Internal Affairs, they're not told. You can either file here or you can go and file with a citizen agency. I promise you, if people were told that, they would be headed here. The last thing they want to do is see someone in a blue uniform when they are complaining about someone in the same blue uniform. So this proposal does the following, which you're shaking your head at. No, I see. What we're saying is this. In order to save you, we have to make you the focus of citizen complaints. When people go to Internal Affairs, they should be told, I'm sorry, we no longer accept citizen complaints against police. You need to file this with the Citizens Police Review Board. That way the word will spread that you're here. So what is another advantage to this? Another advantage is by hiring 10 additional CPRB intake investigators, you will be able to release or reassign 10 of the current 26 Internal Affairs officers to do jobs that they are needed at, like patrol, like Criminal Investigation Division, which is severely understaffed, which is why the police have a difficult time prosecuting cases because they haven't been able to develop the case sufficiently for the DA to prosecute. The audit that was done by Harnett Associates pointed out the severely understaffed Criminal Investigation Division. So by transferring the job of taking citizen complaints from Internal Affairs, you release 10 administrative positions that are currently being done by sworn officers and let them do something that promotes public safety, which is what they're paid to do. And by the way, they are paid about twice what these investigators are paid, which means you can hire 2 civilian investigators for the price of 1 sworn officer, roughly. So it's more cost effective to have citizens investigating, and it permits the reassignment of OPD officers that we currently employ to jobs that actually serve the public interest by promoting public safety. If you ask the average citizen, would you rather have someone who earns $150,000 to $200,000 a year as a sworn officer, would you rather have that person on patrol or investigating crimes, or would you rather have that person investigating citizen complaints? What do you think they'd say? And that's what this proposal will do. So what we're really talking about is not civilianizing Internal Affairs, which is the way it's being characterized. We are saying redirect and redeploy, reassign the function of investigating and intaking citizen complaints to this agency and relieve those officers of the need to do that job so they can be reassigned to promote public safety. Now, the We work together with the police, and Patrick knows this. We worked with Sean. We had the support of Chief Tucker for well over 2 years. We had the support of his command staff. We had a working group that worked to develop this, to work out the kinks. We've talked to the city attorney's office. We've talked to the riders' independent monitor team. We've talked to the plaintiff's attorneys. Everybody has been on board. Everybody was on board until Chief Tucker left. Now we have a different game. All of a sudden, the police have found all sorts of problems, none of which they brought up while they were at our table in the working group. But suddenly, they are here in the report. Frankly, most of what their problem is has nothing to do with what we are proposing. What their objections are based on is our long-range proposal, which is not being considered at this time. The long-range proposal is to create a police commission in the city of Oakland. That would have to be done by ballot because it's a change in the city charter. We are hoping to be able to do that sometime in 2010. But that is not what we are asking the council to take action on at this time. So that is what their objection is in part. They also bring up issues with the NSA and other issues of implementation. Basically, all of those were worked out in our working group. Question?
Rashida, can you just briefly explain what a police commission is in terms of how you've outlined it in your report?
Well, we haven't.
The objection.
We have not outlined a police commission in the report because, again, it's not on the table now. This is something that we are contemplating for next year. It's not what we are asking council to act on in any way, shape, or form. One reason is we don't know what model we want yet. There are lots of different kinds of police commissions currently operating in the United States. There is one commission in Los Angeles. There's a commission in San Francisco that Joyce Hicks, well, she is not on the commission, but she's in the OCC over there. Many cities have police commissions, but they're not all identical. And so we would be wanting to fashion one. And that would require a great deal of research, which we are prepared to do. And we also would want to be consulting with a lot of folks in the community, a lot of experts in the field, with city council members, with administration, before we came up with a clear model that we want to put to the voters. So that is not at all what we are asking for in this report on Tuesday. All we are asking for is the City Council authorize the reassignment of 10 internal affairs intake officers to other positions within OPD, and in exchange for that, to spend $1.2 million to hire the 10 replacement people at this agency. That's what's in front of the council, nothing else.
One other question. Are there cities comparable to Oakland that have civilian?
Berkeley, San Diego, Cincinnati, there are a lot of cities that have citizens' police review boards. New York City does. I believe Chicago does, I'm not sure. But yeah, there are many, many. I believe Minneapolis does. Again, there are different models. I believe they recently put one in Albuquerque, New Mexico. There are a lot of different models of civilian oversight. San Jose, for example, has a citizen auditor. Sacramento has an auditor. They have a kind of a police commission in Portland, Oregon. But again, they don't all function the same way, and they don't all have the same powers, and they don't all perform the same. They're not all functioning in a similar way within their city government in terms of their
power. There are cities that have citizen oversight in lieu of internal affairs.
you have to keep internal affairs for internal affairs, namely for complaints that are generated within the department and for other kinds of issues that are internal. For example, accidents that involve police vehicles have to be internally investigated. So we're not saying to eliminate internal affairs. We're not saying that at all. We know they need to keep a certain core number of internal affairs officers in place, and they need to continue to have a division. All we're saying is that doesn't need to include citizen complaints. So basically, we're talking about the model that exists in San Francisco, where all citizen complaints go to the Office of Citizen Complaints. And that's what we'd like to see here. Now, aside from the benefits that I've mentioned, namely cost-effective, not redundant, the other clear benefit is to the public, namely that people have more faith in investigations that are done by neutral parties. Most people don't believe that doctors who investigate other doctors, or police who investigate other police, or lawyers who investigate other lawyers are objective. And it's just a, you know, we all understand that. That's why there is so much emphasis on external oversight mechanisms, and that's what this is. We believe that the citizens of Oakland want an independent review of police. And we believe that most citizens don't think that that can be delivered by internal affairs simply because of the inherent bias that police have in protecting their brothers in blue.
Quick question. In your proposal, are you also including or addressing the fact after, let's say, a CPRB investigation, when we come up with a recommendation, what happens after that?
The issue there is exactly the reason why we need a ballot initiative, because the issue of administering discipline is charter-based. There's nothing we can do to change the way officers are disciplined in terms of whose authority it is without going to the ballot. And that's exactly the reason we want to put something on the ballot to address that issue. Questions? Any other questions? I believe you just got it.
It's just a point of clarification. It's attachment 3 in your packet, and then the handout that I passed out is the police's proposal in response. Can you say a little bit about what you expect to happen at this meeting, and maybe you can extend an invitation to some of our board members to attend?
I think I started by doing that.
Okay.
You must have been...
First day on the job.
That's okay. Not a problem at all. Yes, most definitely would like you guys to be there. And what we expect to happen is that our item, which is item 7, and the police item, which is item 6, which is essentially their response to our proposal, will probably be taken at the same time together. What usually happens is that I'll present, or Eric or somebody from our task force will present our report, somebody will present the police report, and then they will call for public speakers to give their views, and then the committee members, Larry Reed, Nancy Nadell, Pat Kernahan, and Jean Kwan, will raise questions, no doubt, and then will give their views. At the conclusion of this discussion, they will decide to forward this item to the council with a recommendation either to pass it, to approve it, or not to approve it, or with no recommendation, and leave it to the council to decide for themselves.
Can you give us the day and time again for
Tuesday. April 28th, 5:30 p.m., Hearing Room 1.
Thank you.
And it's item 6 and 7. which means they probably won't get to it until 6:30 at the earliest, because they have several other items before it. So my thinking is they'll probably call it sometime between 6:30 and 7. You can submit speaker cards electronically, so you don't have to rush there to get there in time to get your speaker card in. You can do it online by going to oaklandnet.com and going to the City Council meeting link, and they have speaker cards there that you can submit electronically. For me, it's a bit of a problem that they decided to list the police report as one item and our report as a second item, when in reality, their report is simply a reaction to ours. They have no proposal. It's just a response to our proposal. So it should have been folded into the same item, which I brought up to the legislative analyst today, but she told me that the city attorney's office thought that it wouldn't be noticed properly if it were separate. What can I say? Welcome to the city of Oakland. So that's why I don't work here, folks. So in any case, to get back to the original theme, it's easy to get lost in the minutia of what the police are saying and of what we're saying and all the kind of details of, you know, the rollout and when would it happen and what about the NSA and where are we going to find the money and, well, who's going to train them and are they going to be qualified and all of this kind of stuff. I would ask you to keep your eye on the prize. The prize is threatened. The prize of civilian oversight in Oakland is potentially on the chopping block. And I'm not being overly dramatic here. I'm being realistic. We need to keep citizen oversight of the Oakland Police Department a priority. And I would submit to you that in the current organizational configuration, it is very hard to justify continuing to support this agency. So you grow or you become extinct. And I hope that we can count on you to be strong advocates, not only at the Public Safety Committee on Tuesday, but to make your voices known to your council members, to your friends, neighbors, and associates, to get them to start communicating with the City Council, to put pressure on the City Council. I mean, think about the irony. The Oscar Grant, the third killing, with the outcry, we must have oversight, we must have external oversight for BART. Right? They tried to get state legislation to create citizen oversight for BART. What an irony it would be if we lost it here in Oakland. Don't let it happen. We're working hard, but we can't do it alone. We need the community to step up.